You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man, that is so good, man. That's some great advice right there, wasn't it, man? Yeah, very good. Well, I want to say welcome to Crossroads Church. We're so glad you're here, and we just are thankful that you're able to be here this weekend as we honor our graduates. This is graduation weekend, and we're going to have a great time together. So thank you so much for being here. Some of you may be here for your very first time, and if you are, man, we're glad you're here. Hope you'll come back. Hang out with us some more. I do want to say welcome to everybody on all of our other campuses, whether you're at our Whitewater campus or whether you're at Chattahoochee Hills or at Thomas Crossroads in Studio 3. We are just so glad you're here, and thank you for joining us. And we're gonna worship God together. We're going to open His Word. Isn't that right? Amen. And so turning your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is where we're going to be today. And we've been there before, but we're going to come back and spend a little bit of time there today. So I don't know about you, but I just think, man, isn't it crazy that school is almost over, isn't it, man? I mean, it is winding down, man. And so some people are excited, others are not. But anyway, it's been a fast year, hasn't it? Thank you for participating. And some of you probably thinking it's been a fast 12 years, hasn't it, man? Because for some of you, it is over, man. It is over. You are graduating. And so, and I started thinking about, as I was thinking about this week, I thought, you know what? I was thinking, I've had some graduations in my life, but I couldn't even really remember how many I had until I thought about it. And I thought, well, you know what? Actually, I think I've graduated 4 different times, man. And so, so this is crazy. The first time, my first graduation, this is going to go back a little ways. It was in 1964. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's like, you really old, man. And so it was in 1964. I graduated from Miss Maley's kindergarten, man. Oh, it was crazy. In fact, I'll be honest, I wasn't sure I was going to get out. I mean, I thought I was going to be repeating kindergarten, man. But my mom was a music teacher. So I think that gave me a little nudge out right there, man. And so then it wasn't, I didn't have like a middle school, elementary. I didn't graduate again until I got to high school. And that was in 1978. Graduated from Parkview High School. Go Panthers. Wow. So anyway, graduated from Parkview. And this is what I remember about that. This was really cool. So what an honor. I actually got to do the closing prayer at my high school graduation. I mean, that's something, isn't it, right? That's where my first time I was a professional prayer right there, man. So anyway, that was a really cool deal. In fact, I think it's kind of neat. I actually got to say the last word in my high school, man. And so I did that. And then my next graduation was in 1983, and I graduated from Georgia State University. I got a BS in education. Some people say you have BS. No, just leave that. Just let that go, right? And so I got a Bachelor's of Science in Education, And then the last graduation was in 1989, right before I got here, and I graduated from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, got a master's in divinity. So I've been making some mean divinity candy for the last 37 years, man. So anyway, as I think back, people sometimes say, well, what do you remember? What do you remember about your graduations? Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, not much. I mean, I pretty much just told you everything I remember, right? And so I don't remember much, but I do know this. I do know that not just with me, but with everybody, I know that whenever you go through graduation, there is a lot of joy associated with graduation. There's a lot of excitement. I mean, there's a great sense of, I mean, if you make it 12 years, that's a sense of accomplishment, right? And there's a sense of satisfaction, but you also know that there's also a flip side to that. There's a lot of anxiety, isn't there? Because there's a lot of not knowing what's going to come next. And so I had, or I know that there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of sadness. In fact, if I'll be honest, I think there was a tear or two shed when I graduated. And so the good news is my parents worked through all those issues and they got over it and everything turned out okay. So all I remember is, I just remember after graduating, heading to Panama City, blaring Alice Cooper on my stereo. School's out forever. Y'all remember that? Y'all don't remember that, do you? You know, Alice Cooper, I bet I'm the only pastor in the country who's quoting Alice Cooper this morning, man. Yeah, he's a Christian, by the way. Did you know that? Anyway, let's go back to graduation. So graduation, especially high school graduation, it really is, it's one of the most important transitions that you will ever go through in all of life. I mean, I guess for a lot of people, they would say it's kind of like a rite of passage, and really it's kind of when you go from that stage of actually being fairly dependent to being somewhat independent. Now, all of us know that you still got a long way to go. You still got a long way to go. But you're at least moving in a direction of dependency to independence. So how many of you understand that's a transition that brings a lot of different changes in your life, right? And so I wanted to speak to that today. In fact, we're going to be in a couple weeks, we're going to be in the book of Judges because we just studied through the Bible. But for a few weeks here, I've been talking about some different issues that are kind of affecting our church, a lot of people in our church. Today's one of those days where I just want to speak to this idea of how do you navigate not just graduation, because if I only spoke to graduates, I'd have really just a small crowd of people that I would speak to. But if I speak to any transitions in life, how many of you know that probably includes a lot more people here, doesn't it? In fact, honestly, it might include everybody here. You say, well, what do you mean by that? So some of you are facing a lot of different types of transitions. Some of you are either about to have a child or you've just had a child. Maybe some of you are about to get married or you just got married. Maybe some of you have just moved somewhere or you're about to move somewhere. Maybe some of you are starting a new job. Maybe you've just started. I mean, there's all kinds of trends. Maybe some of you are about ready to retire from your job. You're like, I got all this unknown. I got all these things. I got all this transition. Some of you maybe have just lost a spouse. And you're like, how do I navigate that? Because here's what I can tell you. Is it in every single one of these transitions in life, is it regardless of what it is, I can tell you this, regardless of what it is, how you navigate it is huge. And so in some of these areas, there might be financial, relational, physical, there might be a lot of things that you have to do, have to deal with to navigate it. But I will tell you this, the single most important thing that you must do when you're dealing with a transition is you must navigate it spiritually. Because if you don't navigate it spiritually, it could actually wreck everything else in your life. And so today, we're going to take a look at actually, no matter what situation it is, the similarities in how you navigate it are incredible. And so we're going to look at a passage today about a group of people that most of the Old Testament is written about. We're going to look at the children of Israel. We're going to look at the Israelites. And the reason we're going to choose them is because they give us a great picture of a group of people that are going through a transition. And so how many of you know that they started out as slaves in Egypt? We pick up their story in Exodus. And so they're slaves in Egypt, and they've been there for 400 years. And how many of you know that going from slavery to freedom is a major transition, isn't it? And so then you think, well, it gets really good. No, actually, they spend the next 40 years in the wilderness. And so they're going through 40 years in the wilderness. So there's another transition. And then they get to another point where they're going into a place called the Promised Land. And so let's just say that's graduation for them. And so they're about to go in. And so you know this, the Promised Land, it was very different than bondage. It was very different than the wilderness. It was a place of abundance, and it was a place of blessing. And so here's what I think we can do. I think we can learn a lot about transitions by looking at some lessons that we get from their story. And we find that in the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, You guys remember, wasn't too long ago that we studied this book. We did a knucklehead Deuteronomy. If you're knuckleheads, I'm sure you remember all the points that I gave you, don't you? Probably not, but anyway. Wishful thinking, I guess. But anyway, here's what we do know, is that this is basically a book that's based around really three sermons that Moses preached to Israel before they go into the promised land to help them make this transition well. So if you have your outline, let's take a few notes. We're gonna get right to it here. The first thing we know is that if you're going through a major transition in your life, here's the most important thing I can tell you is that you need to stay grounded. You need to stay grounded. So here's what you know. In fact, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's pretty obvious, but how many of you know this? Is that sometimes the transitions in life, here it is, come on, listen. Sometimes the transitions in life, they can make you forget who you are and where you came from. Come on, am I right? I'm just telling you, if you don't navigate your transitions the right way, sometimes as you go from here to here, you can forget who you were, who you are, and you can forget where you came from. And the potential, Moses understood this, and Moses saw that the potential that could happen to the Israelites. He realized that when they go from being in the wilderness and in slavery, and now they're going into the promised land, is that this could not, it's a possibility this could not go well, or it could go really well. And so what happens is that in chapter one, he starts a sermon and he actually replays some things that he had said to them when they just got into the wilderness. Let's read it together in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. I just want you to notice what he says here. It's very important. He says, "Then I said to you," he said, do not be in dread or afraid of them. He's talking about the Canaanites, the people that are going to be in the land. He said, don't be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God goes before you himself. He will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the, where? And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord has carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. So clearly what he's saying is this: remember what happened in Egypt, remember what happened in the wilderness, and whatever you do, do not forget who you belong to, and do not forget how you got to where you are. Because how many of you know is that they were God's chosen people back way before they got into Egypt? And you know what? You know this. They didn't get to the promised land on their own power and their own strength. They got there because of the provision of God, didn't they? How many of you know this? Is it sometimes is that when you're not grounded, you can easily lose your way, right? You ever flown a kite? You know what the key to flying a kite is? Staying grounded. You know what? If you're flying a kite actually soars higher and soars better when it is still connected to something on the ground, right? I mean, you let a kite go and it's not that much fun, is it? You know, flying a kite is only good when it is grounded, when it is connected. And you if you're going to soar and you're going to go farther and you're going to go faster, you got to stay grounded to where you came from, to who you belong to. You know, how many of you know that sometimes is it when you go from one place to the next place, and sometimes when that comes with blessings, sometimes that causes the crazies, doesn't it? Come on, right? Have you ever seen this happen to somebody? Have you ever seen, I mean, we see it in public a lot. We see it with athletes. We see it with business people. We see it with actors and actresses. We see people that they come into some money, or maybe they get some big success, or maybe they get some particular amount of fame or whatever. And I can just tell you, is it sometimes when people go from wilderness to prosperity or to blessings or to abundance, sometimes the wheels come off. You say, how do you keep that from happening? Remember whose you are and remember where you came from. Amen? I'm telling you, it's true. You know, I remember that sometimes that happens when you get freedom too. When you start becoming more independent and you start getting more freedom in your life, that can be good Sometimes that can go bad. So I remember, I'm gonna give you a lot of old stories today. When I graduated. So I remember when I got out of high school, I was gonna go to college in South Georgia. I was gonna go to Valdosta State University. So I was gonna go to Valdosta, and I remember I went down there in the summer before I started. I went down there for an orientation. And I remember that when I was there, I was put in a room with some guy I didn't know. And so that we were just overnight, and the guy says, "So what are you gonna do tonight?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." He says, "Well, I've been invited to a party at a fraternity. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "Well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I'm not going to sit here in a room by myself." So I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And so I knew I was in trouble when I walked up and there were people all over the yard and the house was buzzing. And I mean, it was packed with people. And as soon as I stepped foot in the yard, somebody tried to hand me a beer. And then when I walked in the house, somebody tried to hand me another beer. And then when I walked into the other room, somebody tried to hand me another beer. And I just started down the hallway, and everybody's trying to hand me a beer, and I smell pot smoking over here in this other room. And then I finally got all the way back to the kitchen, and when I got to the kitchen, I mean, I just kept walking, and there was a stack of kegs all the way to the ceiling. And so I thought, you know what? I don't think I should be here. So guess what I did? I went out the back door. I went back to my dorm room. And the next day, I packed up and I went home and I ended up going to a different school. Because this is why, because I said, this is not who I am. And this is not who I'm going to be. Can I tell you that if I had not made that call, there is a very, very good chance I'm not standing on this stage right here. And I'm not doing what I'm doing today. And so if any of you are feeling sorry for me, and if any of you are thinking, "Oh, Ken, you really missed out in college," listen, I'm good. I'm just going to tell you, I wouldn't change it for anything. I am okay, and I ain't missed anything. And if you're in that position in your life where you're transitioning, I hope you understand. There's some things you'll regret. There's some things you'll never regret. The second thing is, not only you stay grounded, but when you're going through a life transition, always stay centered. Always stay centered. Okay, so listen to me. Transitions, no matter what they are, transitions always create options. Transitions create options. You say, what kind of options? Options for good or options for bad? You say, what do you mean? So let's just say if you move to a new neighborhood or you move to a new town, so there's going to be options for you to what? Hang out with these people or hang out with these people. If you go to a new job, guess what? All of a sudden, you're in a brand new place and you got options to do that. Let's say you get married and so all of a sudden your whole world changes and so you got options. You got some options that can turn out good, some options that can turn out not so good. And so it has a lot to do with how you see that transition in your life and whether or not you stay centered. So Moses knows that they're about to go into a whole different world with a whole bunch of different people, the Canaanites, and so he's going to set them up. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, so he gives them the Ten Commandments, just like they were written in Exodus, the same Ten Commandments. And then he says, here's how you ought to go. When you get there, this is what you ought to do. So check this out, chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Man, you got to get this because this is still true today. Here's what it says. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has what? Commanded you. He just gave him the Ten Commandments. And you, listen, this is huge. And you shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. So why? So that you may live and it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's giving them the key to success. He's saying, here it is. Is what happens. If you're not going right or you're not going left, you're going where? In the center. I'm going a little too deep for you right here, ain't I? Yeah. If you're not going right or if you're not going left, you're staying in the center. Here's a key, man. When you find yourself in a transition, that doesn't matter what it is, make sure that you're centered. Make sure that you're going in the right path. Because here's why, listen to me. So transitions create options, and options always bring what? Choices. Here it is. Write this down. Transitions create options, and options bring choices. And choices always lead to what? Consequences. Come on, y'all with me? Here we go. Here we go. Transitions bring options. Options lead to choices. Choices bring consequences. So you remember the story about this couple that were offered a piece of fruit? Remember that? Remember that? Guess what? Transit, choices, option, options. You want to go to the right or to the left? You want to eat it or you don't want to eat it? Guess what? Is it they're going to have choices they would have to make, and those those choices would lead to consequences, wouldn't they? Dude, I'm telling you, this is gold what I'm giving you right here. I mean, this is important. I'm telling you, man, every student, every graduate in this room, you ain't hear what I'm saying, man. Hear what I'm saying. You know, isn't this interesting that a lot of times, the high percentage of time that choices, we make choices in our life, are usually influenced by other voices in our lives. You see, that's what got Adam and Eve in a mess, wasn't it? How many of you know they listened to the wrong voices? Come on, am I right? They listened to the wrong voices. Here's what I'm going to tell you. As soon as you step foot on some college campus, as soon as you step foot in some workplace, as soon as you step foot in the military, as soon as you step foot in the, you name it, you call your transition. As soon as you take a step from one place to the next step, guess what? Somebody's in your ear. And somebody's speaking to you. And somebody's telling you, hey, why don't you go this way? And somebody else is saying, why don't you go that way? And you know what? You don't need to go to the right or to the left. You need to go where? Boom. Boom, right down the center. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to get messed up. Because here's what I'm telling you. All the voices that you have are not necessarily good voices. And they're not all leading you in the right direction. How many of you know this? It is always easier. Here it is. Here it is. It is always easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. You know what Paul says? Bad company corrupts what? Good character. You know what? I probably could find somebody here, probably half my size and strength, and you'd have an easier time pulling me off this stage than I have pulling you up. Because it is always easier to be pulled. That's why you cannot take too lightly the voices that you allow in your life. Man, I should be getting a big amen right here, but that's all right, man. I'm preaching anyway. So here's the deal. I remember another old story here. I remember when I was in college. So I ended up leaving. I didn't go to Valdosta. I went to Middle Georgia. I was there for 2 quarters. Some of y'all don't even know what quarters are. School was school when they had quarters. Man, it's all semester stuff. I don't know where it came from. Anyway, I was in my spring quarter. I wanted to play football so bad I couldn't stand it. So I talked my parents and let me go to Troy State University. They had a football team. Went to Troy State. So I transferred over there. I was at spring. Man, it's springtime. I'm in a brand new school. They're already halfway through the school. I don't know anybody. I'm lonely. I'm moping. I'm like, man, I need some friends. I need some girlfriends. I need some friends, you know. I did need a girlfriend. So I said, I got to find somebody to hang out with. So I remember walking down the hallway, a couple doors down. I remember there's this door and it had a Christian sign on it. And I'm thinking to myself, so just because it's a Christian sign doesn't mean it's a good thing, right? Because there's some Christians, they're kind of weird anyway, aren't they, man? Like, but I was so lonely, I said, here goes nothing. So I knock on the door, I meet these 2 guys in there. They get me connected to a Bible study. A Bible study changed my life. You know why? Because I was at a choice to go to the right or to go to the left. And they helped me stay in the center. You know what's funny? One of those guys that's in there is that he ended up becoming a worship leader at a place called Johnson Ferry Baptist Church about the same time that I came to Crossroads. Isn't that crazy? And he ended up, he just retired just a few months ago, maybe last year. It's crazy how God was orchestrating that. I can assure you that I would probably not be standing here talking to you today if God had not opened that door into that friendship with those people that day. And I just tell you, man, when you're facing transition, be careful of the voices that you listen to. And then finally, when you're facing a transition, stay grounded, stay centered, stay focused. Stay grounded, stay centered, stay focused. You say, what do you mean by focus? Well, focus is how you see things, right? I mean, your focus is either clear or it's blurry, isn't it, right? So I remember when I was in the fourth grade, and I realized my vision got blurry. I was having a hard time seeing. I was sat probably in the middle of the class, and I was like, man, I can't see the board. I'm not doing so hot in school. And it's funny how, you know, you learn things. I realize now that's probably why I didn't become valedictorian back then in the day, man. I mean, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'm connecting the dots. I was like, man, you know, that probably was the shift that took me down to Rome because I just couldn't see the board. And so I told my mom, she said, well, you need to go to the eye doctor. And then not only that, I couldn't hit a baseball. And it was like, well, I know it's not my swing. That's why I didn't get a scholarship, I guess. I mean, there's things I understand now, right? I couldn't see the TV. I was a kid. Like, I sat on the floor, I was like right here for the TV. If I didn't, I wouldn't know if it was the TV or the radio. I wouldn't know it. I was like, well, I realized that I had a problem. The problem was I was nearsighted. So I couldn't see far off. That's what it always sounds like, the opposite, right? So I was nearsighted, couldn't see far off. So Moses realizes that when they go into the promised land, they could suffer some nearsightedness. So here's what he says. Check this out. It's great, great passage. Deuteronomy 30, 16 through 20. Gonna read a little bit here. Listen to this. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I commanded you today. By the way, this was a covenant. This was a covenant that they had made with God. And Moses is saying, when you read the whole covenant, Moses is saying, renew your covenant to God. So is this. So that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, and then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. I mean, that's what we're after, right? So, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods, little g gods, and you serve them, then here's what's going to happen. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So it doesn't turn out good. And then you shall not live in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live loving. That's what you want, man. You want to love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and the part I love, holding what? Fast to him. Oh my gosh, you got to stay focused. You got to be centered, but you got to stay focused because here's what happens is that focus problems don't happen overnight. They happen over time. You see, losing focus is a slow fade. Do you realize that if I hadn't had my vision corrected, and by the time I got from fourth grade to today, I'd be blind as a bat, man. I'd be so lost. But I got glasses, and I got contacts, and I got LASIK surgery, and I mean, every so often, I got to go in and get it refocused. I got to go in and get it retooled. So here's the deal. If you don't keep working on your focus, if you don't keep coming back, that's why he said, renew this covenant that you made with God. They're renewing something here. And so if you don't do that, you lose your focus. You lose your focus. You know, when I was in high school, I used to run track in high school. Dude, I ran the high hurdles like a gazelle, baby. Dude, fast, man. Fast as lightning, man. And every now and then I run the 880, and sometimes I ran some relays. And you know what I learned about track? You know what? Can I tell you? I've learned two very important lessons in track. You know what the single most important lesson in track is? Single most important. Write this down. Be faster than everybody else. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? The goal is to win. Just be faster than everybody else. But you know what the second most important rule in track is? Never turn around. Come on, am I right? Man, if you're trucking like this, don't. Because as soon as you look back, guess what? They're gone. Don't ever look back. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes focused on the finish line. Hold fast to Him. So I was working on this message. I was like, you know, all these stories that I'm telling, they're like 10 or 15 years old. Plus. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's changed. Maybe I'm just an old fart. I mean, I couldn't say fart in sermon, can I? I was like, oh, man, edit. And I was like, I'm just an old dude. What if I got some young people, like people that we have here that we know? And so I asked a couple friends of mine, I asked Anna and Slade, if they would tell me how it looks today as you go through transition. This is what they said. So, guys, I'm super excited to be able to have a few minutes with a couple of folks that have been around Crossroads for a long time, good friends of mine. This is Anna and this is Slade. And they have been where a lot of you are right here today. They have just recently transitioned in their lives from being in high school to being in college and being a little bit out on their own. And so, Anna, tell us how that has recently happened for you. What happened for you?
So I graduated high school in 2024, and then I ended up staying home a year to be online. And then last year, I went to Cedarville University up in Ohio for a year.
Cool. So you've had double transitions.
Yes. All right. Two big ones for sure.
Yeah. Slade, how about you? What was your transition?
Yeah, so I graduated last year from East Coweta High School in 2025. Go Indians. And then I went to Anderson University up in South Carolina in the fall.
Okay, very cool. So as you think about these transitions you've been through, so obviously there are probably some things that you could have thought, this is probably going to happen, but then there might have been some things that surprised you, right? So as you think about it, what have been some of the things you didn't see coming that kind of surprised you about transitioning from, you know, being at home to being at school at some point?
Mm-hmm. For me, I guess I expected some of the freedom that would come with it, but I don't think I anticipated as much freedom as what I kind of had my freshman and, of course, sophomore year in college. And just being able to kind of be free and on my own, but also knowing that, like, my parents' guidance was, like, right around the corner if I needed it was really helpful and encouraging. But it was definitely surprising to kind of step into such a world of, like, independence.
So you really weren't used to that before, right? And then all of a sudden you're, like, able to do whatever you want whenever you want,
right? For the most part, yes.
So must be nice. But anyway, so, Slade, how about you, man? What were some of the things that were surprising for you in terms of the change you went through?
Yeah, so kind of like Anna, I guess I didn't really realize how much I relied on my parents living in their house. I think they weren't even half an hour down the road before I called them asking where stuff was in my dorm room. So just realizing that I now had to make my own schedule, I had to make my own decisions, and, you know, I was responsible for me pretty much is something that I kind of anticipated but wasn't completely ready for, kind of like Anna said.
I think they call that adulting, don't they?
Yeah.
So, anyway, and so both of you guys have been kind of typical of what a lot of folks that are going to be here in our service today. They're doing that same thing. A lot of them have been, you know, at home. They have been in their under their parents' house for a long time, and now they're either stepping out into the work world or they're stepping out into college. And so, so clearly, there have been some things that you have relied on. That maybe you were taught before or whatever that you have used to help navigate some of that independence, some of that responsibility and that kind of thing. So what have been some of the things that you would say have helped you the most in navigating that?
Yeah, I think number one is just finding a really good community and a really good church where you're at. Mm-hmm. I think coming from Crossroads, which I think is a really healthy church, really good community to be a part of. Going into an area where I knew pretty much no one was pretty difficult to navigate and see how do you find that community, how do you find those people. But when you do, I think it helps you both you know, mentally, but also spiritually, definitely, because people are pushing you, brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ are pushing you, and iron sharpens iron, you know, you're just pushing towards the goal. And yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing for me in that transition was finding that healthy community.
That's good, man. I think that's huge, right? Because it can go really differently if you don't, right? If you don't get the right community, you can actually end up backing up, right? So how about you, Anna? What would you say some of the things helped you?
I think because my first year was like staying at home, I think for me, rather than finding that community, it was kind of embracing the community that I already had. And then even going to Cedarville, being able to like know that I had people in my corner that were cheering me on and helping me. And whether that was through prayer or through encouragement or through phone calls at, you know, 11 o'clock at night where I need help, you know, so that was really something that helped me.
That's good. So yeah, that's, I think that's great. I think a lot of people can relate to that because they will be going into brand new environments, and it's like, you know, easy to sometimes kind of forget who you are, right? And so they'll be needing to develop brand new relationships with people that need to be helping push them in the right direction. So that's cool. So if you could say, if I said, hey, give us, you know, you got an audience here that are where you used to be and they're about to be where you are, what's the one maybe best advice you think you could share with them today?
Prioritize worship and prayer, for sure. I think trusting God is like the main thing that I learned through this, just the past 2 years of being out of high school, of knowing that like this is a sort like space of freedom, but at the same time, with freedom comes more dependence on God because you don't always know what you're doing. You don't always know what your next step is. So to know that prayer is really important and worship is really important, whether that's corporate or private, and just knowing that, you know, you're able to reach out to God whenever, and he's so accessible.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
Yeah, I would just say go out and be yourself, be true to yourself, and tear down that guard that I think is so easy to put up in these seasons of change. When I stepped out and was actually socializing and being pretty extroverted, I got to meet that community I was talking about a minute ago and get to experience, I think, more of what the college life, but just this change in general, this transition had for me. And meeting new people by just opening up and saying yes.
Yeah, that's super, man. So I appreciate you guys sharing, and I think everything you said is just right on point, man. And so from not being overwhelmed by the responsibility and the freedom, and by building community, and by having prayer and worship and building those disciplines in your life is really what you're talking about. And then just not forgetting who you are and having those people. Man, I just think that is some great stuff that can help anybody, whether it's transitioning from high school to college or work world, or whether it's transitioning to another location, another job, or even just becoming a parent for the first time or getting married. All of those things you shared, they should speak and they should work for everybody in every transition in life. That's good stuff, isn't it, man? So let me leave you with this. If nothing else, get this. That right there, that's why you want a Christian home. And that's why you want a solid student ministry for your children to be in right there, man. That's exactly what that is. So wherever you are in life, everybody's in different transitions in life. It's not so important what you're going through, but who is going with you in those transitions in life. And if you're here today and you're not even sure if you even know who God is, you have a relationship with him, nothing's more important. Nothing's more important than you knowing that you know that you know that Jesus is in your life and he is the Lord and Savior of your life. And so after our service is over, if you'd like to talk to somebody about that, that's the reason we're here. And so after the service, stop by the Connection Center. It's out there in the lobby. We have some staff people there. A lot of pastors will be there. We'd love to help you. Let's just, if nothing else, just say, I need to have a conversation about my faith and about my direction in life. And we'd love to help you with that. I'm going to pray for you, and then our student pastor is going to come, and we're going to honor some graduates today. Let's bow together. Father, we love you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for the truth of your word. And thank you that you have an amazing plan for our lives if we will just, if if we would just walk in your ways and obey your commands and continue to follow you. Your plan is always good. And we just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you. And I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you, that they wouldn't leave here today until they begin that conversation of what it means to know you and come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ken Adams. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Ken's teaching ministry by visiting crossroadsonline.org.